This is Broken to Barbell,
the podcast about three 20-somethings journey through fitness, mental health, and everything in between. Broken to Barbell isn't just our name, it's our mantra.
It's a reminder of where we've been, where we're going, and how a barbell helped us change our lives.
All right, we're recording. All right, here we are, Broken to Barbell, episode 103, sobriety, talking about sex, drugs, rock and roll. This episode. So I'm Tanner.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Carly.
And we also have a special guest today. Special guest.
I'm Lauren.
Hi, Lauren. Hi. We'll tell you more about Lauren in like 10 seconds. Make that 5 minutes. We're gonna go over our goals first that we talked about last episode, episode 102, relationships. Sam, you go first.
Yeah. I believe my goal was to drink a gallon of water every day, and I don't think I get a gallon of water every day, but I do I got a little half gallon jug that I carry around with me everywhere, and.
Carly, I can hear you breathing in the microphone really loud. Okay, sorry. Keep going. I can fix it because me and you are on a channel and those two are on a channel. So
my bad.
Okay. So do you want me to start over?
Yeah, just keep going.
Okay. Well, I bought a half gallon jug and I try to fill it up, obviously. Like I try to drink half a gallon during the day when I'm at work and then the other half when I'm at home. So it's sort of working. I don't always get a gallon, but
it's still a lot of water, I think. Like a shitload.
Sam, anything new going on in your life besides the drinking water?
Like new goals?
No, not really. Just trying to get back in the gym after being sick for like 2 weeks. Mm. I just decided to take off, not try and like push it because I felt like I was dying there for a little bit. So other than that, no.
All right. So my daily goals were to eat better, cut out pop and alcohol. None of those things happened at all. So I'm still... eating like garbage and drinking more pop and more alcohol than before. So that's good. Weekly workout 4 to 5 days a week. Three maybe. And my monthly goals, 1 week of clean eating still hasn't happened. But I did have on there that I want to do the undie run, Cupid's undie run. And I did do that. And I can't remember if I did that.
Before the last one.
Before the last podcast. Well, okay, I'm still proud of it. So.
Yeah. I would be
here
too.
We are. And new stuff? I don't know. I was doing this volleyball training workout from bodybuilding.com, and I liked it, but I got so bored with it. So I picked up some new, like, it was like a summer body workout. So that was cool because the volleyball workout was like you did all things all days. Like there was never a train day. So like this one is like, okay, this is arm day. This is back day. This is core day. This is cardio day, this is leg day. So it's like, oh, okay, this is kind of fun again because it's like just mixed it up. So that, I mean, that's the small, interesting new thing.
Oh, I do have something new. I just remembered.
What is it?
Me and my husband signed up for like a summer shred challenge. It's like from March to June, I believe. And then it's from like a YouTuber, Christian Guzman. And then you can enter and then you can win like $1,000 or like gift cards or stuff. Oh. But we just decided to sign up for a challenge. Something to do.
Yeah. All right, Carly.
My daily goal last time around was to eat breakfast every day, and I have been doing that because I actually, in the last month, hired a nutrition coach, and everyone's like, oh, you don't need a nutrition coach. I'm like, well, actually, I do need a nutrition coach, because otherwise I'll eat Wendy's chicken nuggets every day. And so she's been, like, calculating out my macros. So I've been doing that now for, I think, 3 weeks. She's really cool. She's from Butler. And I'm just trying to hit my protein and calories for right now. I also have a new nephew. That's new. I keep forgetting. There's so many new things happening this month. I turned 26. I got a new job. I have a new nephew. I quit CrossFit. And now I'm going to be doing powerlifting starting Monday night. So those are all.
That's exciting.
All new.
That new Carly smell.
New things going on the horizon. So. Excited to see what's gonna happen.
All right, well, I think after we're done talking, maybe let's set goals for ourselves after.
Okay.
We get into our topic today, because then we can all have maybe a small, more manageable goal that all of us can do.
Yes.
Okay, so in this episode of sobriety, we're kind of talking about our backgrounds on binge drinking or drug use and kind of what how that's affected us in reaching our goals and things like that. So my background is started drinking when I was a teenager.
Like, as did all of us, yeah. Probably.
Yeah, I think most people maybe do. I don't know. And then definitely when you're young like that and you're like out in the woods and you like are secretly drinking, like you drink a lot and get like super drunk. Because even the very few times in high school, like I didn't go out or potty that much in high school. I can maybe count it on one hand the times in high school that I actually went out and got super drunk. And that was probably 4 or 5 times. But yeah, it's like you're there to get super drunk and just drink as much as you can.
Yes.
And now that I'm older, well, when I was younger, like when I turned 21, I started drinking a lot more, obviously, because then it's accessible. And like, that probably helped me gain a lot of my weight back in the day.
Yeah, drinking for all sure. Of that.
Yeah. And just like, what did they say drinking a beer is? Like 7 slices of bread or something?
It's a lot. 20 calories. So
per beer.
Every time. So like, if in my instance, I used to drink like at least a 12 pack a night. Mm-hmm. So like that right there is like someone's whole day of calories in one night of drinking.
Oh God.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
On top of the Wendy's chicken nuggets.
Yeah. On top of the pizza I probably ate for lunch and the burger I probably ate for dinner. So I was probably about a 5,000 calorie day.
I think my biggest problem with binge drinking is social aspect. If I'm out with people and they're drinking, I definitely want to drink too. You know, it's like, oh yeah, that looks good. Or like I want to like drink with people. So that's probably something that I could be better at. And like also like fitness wise, I said I want to stop drinking pop and alcohol. Just because of like the insane amount of sugar, A, and then the same amount of calories, B, because it's just a lot. Like, and like maybe keep it more special, because I know there's been several nights like I had my friend Corey over and we like killed a whole bottle of wine together. So probably not the best thing to be doing fitness wise, but drinking half a bottle of wine on a Wednesday.
Well, my thing is like I always felt like I could outwork what I was drinking, yeah. You know, like if I was going to the gym, I'd always be like, I don't know, like, oh, I drank so much last night, but let me just burn this many calories on the elliptical or something pathetic like that. But in college, it was always like, okay, like I'm super hungover. Let me go sweat this out at the rec, yeah. Which is ridiculous. Like you really can't outwork that binge drinking lifestyle. Cause like yeah. You look at like stellar athletes that do like CrossFit and all that. They're maybe drinking one time, like 2 beers at a time every 6 months or something. Like it's very rare that they're drinking, you yeah. know?
Yeah. You'll just be playing catch up the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, I think too, some like the stellar athletes, yeah, they can go out and party and drink and Michael Phelps can eat 80 chicken nuggets in a sitting, but his job is to train.
Whole life is training.
My job is to sit in an office chair, you know, yeah. Like I'm negating 8 hours of office chair sitting and my horrible diet. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, who's next?
Sam, you want to give your background?
Yeah. Background it up.
I mean, my background is basically the same as Tanner's. I started drinking like my senior year of high school and then throughout college. And basically all I did in college was drink. I didn't really go to class or anything. So, yeah. And then my like binging, I guess you would call it, which is pretty, I don't want to say like broad term, but a lot of people use it these days for a lot of things. But like I would drink all night, like sometimes almost a case of beer I was drinking, and then I would eat
by yourself.
Yeah, in college.
What do you mean case of beer? Like
like a 30 pack.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
By yourself and at night.
Yeah. And then I would go home and eat like 5,000 calories right before I would go to bed, and then I would wake up in the morning and eat all day because I was hungover. And then, like, just do it all again for, like, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
How could you do that
physically? I don't know.
30
beers? I mean, it would be all day. That's, like, an all-day thing. That's all I did all day.
You said 120 calories a beer?
Roughly. I mean, that's, like,
so that's, like, 3,600 calories in a day plus.
Plus all the Fiji.
Yeah, that's just what you're drinking.
Yeah. Yep. Well, now we know why I put 50 pounds on in college.
Freshman 50.
But, yeah, so, like, that's where, I mean, and now it's kind of like, I don't really drink, but if I do drink, it's always in excess. Like, I can't just have a beer and go home. It's always like, I have to get drunk, or why am I even drinking?
Yeah.
That's, which is a hard thing to get over.
I think my hardest thing is piecemeal. Oh, I'll have one with dinner. Oh, we'll have one at a friend's house. Oh, we'll have one when we go out. So it's like, I might have 5 or 6 beers in a day, but they're all spread out, you know? So it's like 1, 2 here, 2 here, you know? And it's like, that's what I want to get away from. It's like, okay, how about you just drink water with dinner?
Yeah.
Revolutionary idea.
And I guess the other thing, my other thing is like battling, like, I'm really anxious when I go out. So if I'm drunk, I'm like free, like, ooh, I can do whatever, I'm fine. So that's the other thing that, like, reason kind of why I drink is like to get over that little, like, being anxious out.
No, I can understand that.
But yeah.
Carly? I'll give my background on binge drinking. So I didn't drink in high school at all, which is insane. I know everyone's probably like, wow, I figured you would have started at like 12, but no.
You didn't in high school at all?
I went to like 2 parties and I always left early. I was really, really afraid of getting an underage and like ruining my future in softball. Mm. So I didn't want to go out. And like a lot of it kind of tied into like my dad. So like I didn't want to grow up and like become like an alcoholic. So then I went to college and realized I hated softball in college and I wanted to party because I didn't get that in high school. I mean, aside from like, I went to like 1 field party. Instead, I was staying at Kate Best's house. So
everyone did.
But yeah, like I missed out on all of that. And like it kind of caused a divide between my friends and I in high school. Cause I was like, why are you guys at these parties? Like, I don't understand it. Like, I remember like specifically a couple of them were like drinking Sparks or something. And I'm like, you guys are going to ruin your life. Like, I was like,
they did.
I was that girl. But then I went to college and drank entirely too much. Actually ended up quitting softball at George Mason because I partied so much. And then I had to transfer back to Clarion, which was like my worst nightmare. I was so miserable. But throughout that whole thing, I met like the greatest people. Like one of my best friends to this day is who I lived with when I moved back. But all my guy friends from Clarion, that's what we did. We binge drank all the time. Like, that was our friendship. So now I'm not nearly as close with them as I was, but like they're super supportive of my decision to get sober now. So it's been 5 months since I've drank it all. I know, shocking. just today at that bowling event, one of my best friends was like, so let's plan a beach trip for next summer. Like, you'll be drinking by then, right? I'm like, no. Like, this is not a temporary thing. Like, this isn't a streak. I'm like, not drinking again. And, like, it's hard for people to wrap their head around that, I think, because they know who I am and how I was for so long. But, like, I'm determined to stay sober, and well, I'll figure it out, I guess, one day at a time.
It's definitely interesting, the assumption. Oh, yeah, you'll be drinking again. How easy it is to be pulled back down, you know? Yeah,
and, like, whatever. I mean, the people that say, like, hit me up. You know, like, hit me up and we'll go to happy hour, like, when you fall off the wagon. Like, no.
Thanks, man.
That's just so rude.
Yeah. So, like
what?
And, like, we met some of our friends for dinner a couple weeks ago, and the one was like, are you still on the wagon? I'm like, I'm trying to make this, like, a permanent thing, guys. So thank you.
Preferably, there is no wagon. It just is.
And, it's like, a lifestyle.
Yeah. So one of my old attorneys at my last firm would always like rag on me and be like, hey, like, let's go to happy hour, you can have like 1 beer and all this stuff. And then I finally sent him the link to my first sobriety blog and he quit. He was like, I had no idea, I'm so sorry, like, I didn't realize it was like stemming from something else and all this stuff. And like, kind of like Sam said, how she can't casually drink.
Yeah,
I couldn't either. And I'm one of those people that blacks out, which is unfortunate, but like I don't pass out from excessive drinking. I keep going and going. And it's like my mind is elsewhere. And that,
which is terrifying.
I mention this book all the time, but I'm currently reading it for the 3rd time. it's called Blackout by Sarah Hoppola. And every time I read it, I just become more and more like relatable to her because we're basically the same person. But yeah, I mean, things are going good. And today we have my cousin Lauren here actually to give her story on sobriety and how she's been handling it. So Lauren, you want to tell us about your story?
Yeah, I
started drinking, I think I was like 13, you know, like you guys said, it was the cool thing to do.
Yeah.
And basically the only thing to do. I don't really know when I first started taking pills. I think I was probably like 15. And it just started out like, you know, randomly and whatever, but it like progressed fairly quickly, and I thought I was hiding it pretty well, but I don't really think I was now that I look back at it. But yeah, I graduated high school. I then moved to North Carolina in 2011, thinking that moving away would help me like kind of get out of that.
Yeah.
And the first job I got, there was a guy there that sold. So that was like immediately a downfall. Got into some trouble there. I lived there, I think, 3 years, got into some trouble, then moved home. And 2013 is when I moved home. And I, like, at this time, I still, like, didn't think I had a problem. And then my mom and my Aunt Kelly forced me to go to rehab. And even the first, like, few days of when I was in rehab, I was like, this is so stupid. I don't need to be here. Well, for the first couple of days, I slept the entire time because I didn't think I needed to go to detox either because I didn't have a problem. But I slept the whole couple of days. And then, like, once I actually started to listen to people and what they were saying, I realized, like, wow, I actually do have a problem, and there are other people like me. So I've been clean since February 2014, so it's a little over 3 years now.
That's crazy. That's yeah. So awesome.
When you were younger, when you started taking pills when you were 15, did somebody, like, did you get into it because somebody else is like, here, try this, it's fun?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to, like, say any names or anything, you know, there are, like, people, you know.
People introduced it to you, though? Yeah. Wasn't you, like, just doing it yourself?
Yeah, that's some of my friends were doing it with, like, their older boyfriends or older girlfriends or something, you know. And it was, like, stupid as hell. Like, I would do one Vicodin a day, and, like, that doesn't do anything. Anybody that, like, does pills or anything, that doesn't do anything. But, you know, that was, like, I thought I was, like, really bad. Yeah, and it just got really bad really quick.
So, like, how did you kind of, like, justify your behavior when it did get bad? Because, like, most of us see people that do those types of things and think, like, how could you do that with your life, you know? So, like, as an outsider, because, like, I've never even been high. So,
yeah.
I've never done a pill and all this stuff. So, like, I have literally no idea, like, until you've experienced it. So, like, you have firsthand experience.
Yeah.
What that's like and how you justified it.
I think it started out, I had back problems, and I would say that I was just taking it because my back hurt, and it legitimately did hurt, and I did have issues with it. But that's how it started, justifying it. And then as it got worse and worse, I mean, I've always struggled with, like, anxiety and depression and whatever other mental issues I have that I still unsolved, you know.
yeah. We're all mad here.
So it was pretty much just playing the victim. Like, basically I was just like, this is who I am. I'm not going to be any better than this, so I may as well just be kind of who I am. Yeah, I was
accepted or whatever.
And I was just so depressed or whatever, I don't even know really at the time, but it just
okay. Probably numbed the pain, you know what I mean?
It was okay for me to use that because then I wouldn't have to feel whatever I didn't want to feel, and yeah, it just got worse.
So, like, kind of speaking on that, right before I moved to Pittsburgh was probably, like, my worst time, like, alcoholic-wise. I drank so much. It was insane. Like, I remember sitting in Riverstone Bar in Parker on a Tuesday night by myself, and there was, like, three other guys, like, older men, like, probably in their 60s at the bar with me, and I was just sitting there drinking. Like, that was when I was like, what am I doing with my life, right? So I was a server and a bartender, so I made, like, really easy money, and it's really easy in that service industry to fall victim to alcoholism and drug use. And making that easy money and having all your friends be, like, degenerate alcoholics.
Yeah.
Like, everyone wanted to go to
it's
the
like
bar
a trigger.
After. Yeah.
Having money is a trigger.
And my thing was, I had a degree, I had a bachelor's degree, and I was doing nothing with it. I was serving tables at the Allegheny Grill, and everyone would ask me, like,
oh, there goes the Allegheny Grill sponsorship.
Sorry. It wasn't exactly
Damn.
A good thing.
We'll have to rescind that offer.
Let me take that back. I was serving tables in Foxburg.
I'm not editing that, by the way. Huh? I'm not editing
it. That's fine. I don't care.
I don't care about the Allegheny Grill
sponsorship. People would ask me, like, so what are you doing? Like, are you working here while you go to school? I'm like, no, I have a degree. I just cannot get a job. So finally, by the grace of God or someone up above, I got a job in Pittsburgh. And then when I moved down here, I just decided, like, this is not happening.
Yeah.
Any longer. I mean, it took me a while, but
yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, you
nowhere near as bad.
Yeah.
And thank God for Time Hop to show me just how rough.
Right. Oh my gosh, it's so embarrassing.
I was so swollen.
I don't have Time Hop for my own.
I delete things all the time because of what shows up on Time Hop. I'm like,
maybe
wow,
I should
that.
Get it then.
And I know I should keep it. Like, I think you posted one time, like, should I keep these as a reminder to not go back like that? Or do I want to get rid of them because it's embarrassing? And I delete them because they're embarrassing.
I have a picture that I keep around. It's, like, from me of, like, Christmas 2012, I think, which was, like, the height of I was working, like, a 40-hour week. But then I would drink all weekend. And, like, I was so red and puffy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just like,
swollen.
And mm-hmm. I'm like, I'll never go back to that.
Right, like you need those visual reminders of just how bad it was. But so like, how do you deal with your troubles and your problems now that you like don't have anything to mask them?
I mean, I kind of got myself in the middle of, you know, I'm a drug and alcohol counselor now, so I help other people, and that really helps me a lot, just helping others and staying on track. You know, like, I see where they are, and I obviously don't want to be back there. So that's good, but CrossFit helps a lot, you know, any kind of exercise, anything like that. It's very therapeutic. Therapy, you know, just talking to somebody. I think talking is like the most important thing somebody can do, really. And even if it's not a professional therapist, even if you're just talking to your friends about your issues or problems or whatever, it helps a lot. But yeah, just that stuff. I mean, exercise, I color a lot.
But, do you do, like, the adult coloring books? Like, those things, the mandalas and stuff?
Yeah, I love those.
I see them on sale all the time. I never.
They look so relaxing.
They are so relaxing. They like, calm my mind.
I should probably get those.
Yeah.
I would do it so I could, like, do it at work, like, on a break or something. Then my boss would probably be bothering me the whole time. So
yeah, yeah.
I have to find, like, an empty cube and do it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're coloring. I think, definitely, like, my anxiety and stuff, like, the gym. Mm-hmm. Can like make or break me half the time because and I think that's so crazy that it's that little or that small but that big at the same time, because mm-hmm. like there'll be a day where I'm really stressed out at work or whatever, or if I'm
hungover,
it's
just a way to release it.
Yeah, it's like, know? I need like go to the gym and work out, even if you just run on the treadmill for 15 minutes, even if you just do like a half-assed exercise, mm-hmm. like even then half the time
you'll
it's
feel,
like
yeah
okay I went to the gym, like I did some stuff. And like,
I mean, it's releasing those endorphins, you know, it's,
yeah,
it, like chemically makes you in a better mood. It makes you feel better.
So it's like, then I can come home and lay on the couch and be lazy and do nothing and feel okay about it, versus coming home and without working out and just feeling horrible for not doing anything. I think therapy is good too, because it's usually like a licensed therapist too knows how to ask the right questions that you give yourself the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been seeing a new therapist this past year, and literally, I haven't seen him in 2 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
But I was thinking just yesterday or the day before something we talked about. And then it kind of all like, oh, okay. Like, you know, this, that, and then. And then it was mixed. I was texting my friend Chelsea too. And we were just talking about like, oh, why was I so upset about the breakup and all that stuff we talked about in our last episode, the relationship episode. And it's like, okay, I think I just put a lot of my own self-worth into that relationship, you know? And it's, and the hard part is, it's like, it just, when it ended, it hurt so bad for me just because I had put my own self-worth into that, you know? So it's like, it's interesting when you, that time and that perspective, when you talk to the therapist and like talking to friends, and then it's like this whole new spin on things. And
yeah, it's all about perspective, really.
Well, and even tying into therapy, I know back when you first got sober, you went to a lot of NA meetings, mm-hmm. and it was the day after St. Patrick's Day that first year.
Yeah, I remember.
And Jenny, Lauren's sister, and I went with her to an NA meeting, and we were sitting in the back, and I was, like, severely hungover, And they were doing, like, everyone, like, went up and told their story type thing.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like a popcorn type thing? Mm-hmm. And I got called on to go up and tell my story. And I was like, that should have been a wake-up call right then and there that I was, like, obviously looking like I was in a rough spot. So then I was like, I'm just here for support. And then they called on Jenny, who was also there for support. So it was just, like, kind of eye-opening.
Yeah.
But, like, I have yet to go to an AA meeting, which I actually want to go to those because it's tough to do it on your own, especially when your friends are still drinking, your boyfriend's still drinking. So can you touch on what, like, how AA and NA meetings have helped you?
Yeah. What does AA and NA stand for?
Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even know why I didn't say that on how I cope with things. You know, it's a super good support system. You know, especially in Pittsburgh, it's so big. Any time of the day, you can get on the app and look, and you can find a meeting anywhere you are at every hour. One starts at every hour. So it's like just, you know, going and like listening to other people's stories, it helps you feel not so alone. And then also if you get to the point where you want to share your story or just talk about whatever topic they're talking about, it's just very, like, I don't know, like you just get to release all that and you don't have to hold on to it anymore. But then once you find meetings that you like and you continue to go to, then you meet the people that go to them also, like go all the time. And then you gain friendships of people that have like the same goals as you. And it's like, I still hang out with people that aren't sober, obviously. But I do have those sober friends where I know that if I am having an issue that has to do with my recovery, they're going to be the people that I'm going to go to because they have been there and, you know, they have usually, most of them have more time than I do. So, you know, they have what I want. So I'm going to take their suggestions and they've been there, they've done it. They've gone through a lot of shit. So I'm going to trust them. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to that end, there are far more people that are sober than you even
realize. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
My cousin Shane, he's my mom's cousin, so I guess he'd be my second cousin, messaged me after I posted one of my sobriety blogs and was like, I'm super proud of you. Like, I just got my 29 years last week. And I was like, I had no idea. Like, I've known this guy my whole life and he's been sober that long and I had no idea.
That's cool.
I ran into one of our high school teachers.
Really?
And, like, I was telling him about it because he asked me what I was up to. And I was like, well, I'm now a drug and alcohol counselor and I'm in recovery myself. Meanwhile, he has, like, 40-some years clean. I didn't even know.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And, yeah, it's so crazy to think that.
I'm just nosy.
Cool to know that, you know. And that's another thing. Whenever you put your story out there, like, you know.
So many people know.
Support can come find you. Yeah.
And that's the thing. And even if people don't actively go to meetings or practice their recovery every day, they can still relate to you. And you can still talk to them. And pretty much everybody in the world, whether they like to admit it or not, has an issue with some kind of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So you can relate. You just have to like look past what your drug of choice is.
Well, even to that, I went to school with this girl at Duquesne and she was having a rough time a couple months ago and she texted me and was like, hey, could you send me the link to your blog? Like, I'm having a really rough time right now and I think that I could really relate to that. And I was like, absolutely. Like, just stuff like that. Like, that is so cool that people see me posted on Facebook and they're like using it for their own.
And that's
own
one of the biggest
help.
Like things in NA or AA, you know, whenever you work the steps, part of it is to give back to the newcomers because the newcomers is really what keeps us alive. You know, they're there to remind us what we don't want to go back to, and we're there to help them get to where they want to be. So, yeah, I mean, it's just.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you were saying you haven't been to AA yet, Carly, but you want to go. And it's like, it has to be scary to go and share your story to begin with, because then it's even more real that you're admitting about what happened. And then it's also sad that it has such a stigma too, like in society.
Yeah, there's a huge stigma,
And it's like, dude, these are the people that are
They're doing
the
right
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even I was just talking to Lauren before we started this about how I'm not, like, I'm at 5 months right now and I'm not going to post again until I'm at 6 months. But like, which is ridiculous, but by posting and by putting it out there and by tweeting I'm 20 weeks sober, like, it's out there, you know? Like, that's like just another step to keep me accountable. So, like, I'm not even going to apologize if it's annoying, because I'm just going to keep right on posting about it.
It's not going to be annoying to the people that matter.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
that's true.
Just do you. And if people have a problem with
if
it, then that's on them.
If people project their own problems onto you posting about your sobriety, then that's problem.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that. Yeah. Like, all of my, social media is not private. I don't have anything that's private. Mm-hmm. And, I did start, a separate, fitness account. Mm-hmm. And after I thought about it, I'm like, who cares? I don't care. If you don't like that I post stuff about lifting, then don't follow me. But someone out there does like it, and I want them to see it.
Yeah. Well, even, I forget what I was going to say.
I don't know. Fitness, social media accountability.
Posting. Oh, okay. So, I'm really trying to not be so judgmental. So,
but.
No. Honestly, that is, one of the biggest things I need to work on is, to quit being so judgmental towards people that still live the life that I used to live.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's really tough now that I'm, looking at it from the outside in, because I'm not in that situation anymore to,
But
not
you can understand it.
Yeah, now I can understand it, but, do you have any additional advice for someone that is in a rough spot in their life? Because, for me, I was just listen, I'm a mentor, I have a mentee, someone that looks up to me, someone mm-hmm. that messages me weekly, and I should not be in, a mental fog all the time. So, I was using alcohol to mask any issue in my life. If I had a falling out with someone, it's oh, let's go get drunk. Or if I had a rough week at work, let's go get drunk every Friday night, I was masking so much, and now I'm I feel like I'm finally living my best life because I'm not using alcohol to mask that, not spending every weekend. And I don't even care about a physical hangover, whatever, I've had a million of them, but mine was all mental. So,
Emotional hangover. Yeah.
For days on end, for over the stupidest things. If I don't know what I was saying to someone in a blackout, and then I'd beat myself up over that for months. So it's what is the point of that anymore? So that's why I'm never again.
Well, when you're actually dealing with your emotional distress.
Well-being.
Yeah.
In a more functional
Instead
manner.
Instead of just drinking and getting not thinking about it, you're actually dealing with it, and in turn it's making you stronger and a better person.
And I hated my former job. Yeah. And I was using alcohol to mask that. And now I'm you know what? I don't like it. I'm quitting. I have a new job. It's been a week and I'm so happy. So just I don't know. Who knows, if I was still drinking, I'd probably just be sucking up whatever I was doing at my last job and still working there.
Yeah.
I mean, who's to say? But now that I'm fully here and sober.
Yeah, for real.
I just am not putting up with that any longer. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what would you say to someone that is struggling? Or
I would just say to ask for help. Don't be ashamed. I mean, there's a lot of stigma against anybody using anything, even alcohol or drugs, or just saying that you have a problem with it. There's just a lot of stigma with saying you have a problem with anything. So just don't be ashamed. You will lose friends, but they weren't really your friends. And I know that's a cliche and everybody says that, but it's true. You know, if people really don't have your best interest mm-hmm. at heart, then you don't need them in your life. And just ask for help. People will help you. There are so many people out there that will help you.
Well, like you said, you still have friends that drink. Obviously, I mean, all my friends still drink. And it's just, I feel they think I'm being a bitch or something because I don't want to go to things. And mm-hmm. A lot of them are always you're always bailing. Well, just let me do my thing. I'd rather go home after work and literally do nothing, because this is my mental.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around that, because I don't know if I'm mentally strong enough to go out and drink water. And then I just get bored, and then I get tired. And maybe if bars start serving coffee or espresso, I'd be more
nitro brews,
more excited to go out there and hang out with them. But I'd rather for now just go home. You
and
know?
That's what you need to know about yourself.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And there may be a point where you can be comfortable going out
mm-hmm.
and just hanging out with people, but there also may not. That is a possibility that you are constantly going to be tempted when you go out. Alcohol was my original drug of choice, but at the end it wasn't. So I think I have a little easier time whenever I go out. Mm-hmm. But if I was just a straight up alcoholic and didn't use anything else, it would definitely be harder for me. And if people will eventually understand. And if you just try to tell them, like, listen, I'm really trying to do this and going out is not the scene I need to be in, they usually understand. I've had it where they've understood anyway. But there are people, you know, that don't, and whatever.
You're like, okay, sorry. Yeah. This
is I know, like, in the last probably, like, 4 years, I've lost, not lost, like, a lot of friends, but I've kind of grown away from them. Because, like, if you would ask someone to hang out, and you'd be like, oh, what do you want to do? And, like, I would want to go, like, shopping or, like, anything, like, during the day activities.
Yeah.
Like, go hiking or, like, do something like that. And they'd be like, oh, well, what are we going to drink? Where are we going to drink at? Like, and I was like, I don't want to do that. And first of all, I'm poor. I don't have any money to drink.
Yeah.
And second of all, I just don't want to do that during the day. And then I don't want to do it all the time. So I kind of just like stepped away. Mm-hmm. From people.
And that's okay though.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
It's, you have different priorities and that's, you shouldn't be ashamed of it. It doesn't matter what your priorities are. If they're not the same as somebody else, then you're not going to hang out with them all the time.
Yeah. And like, honestly, like Chris, my boyfriend still drinks. So that's, like, it's not exactly been a divide, but, like, it is, it makes you just realize, like, okay.
How much it actually is, like, drinking, people revolve their lives around drinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, for Chris, for instance, for my birthday, he planned this, like, surprise painting with a twist party and, like, had all my closest friends there. And he told me he wanted to do that because it was something we could do without drinking, which is awesome that he planned my birthday party around.
That makes my heart feel good.
A sober activity. I know. And I
mean, that was so cute, the whole thing. He, like, was planning that for, like, a month ahead of time.
Yeah. So, like, I do rag on him a lot, but, like,
he's obviously thinking about you.
He's obviously on my side.
Yeah.
And he's supporting
Ultimately,
me through
it's this. Just a learning curve for both of you.
Yeah.
Just learning how to be new in a relationship. And relationships are supposed to always be growing anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's a negative thing. You're just learning to live the way you're living now.
Yeah, so that was really cool. And, like, obviously I have you as a really good support system. And, all my friends, for the most part, have been really supportive. And, like, my family, obviously, my mom is the biggest advocate for me being sober. So, just because I put her through absolute hell for the longest time. But, like, now I have a nephew. Like, I can be, like, fully there in his life.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be like, oh, here's your drunk Aunt Carly, like, rolling into your birthday party an hour late.
It's Aunt Carly, honey. I'm here for Thanksgiving.
So, yeah, I think overall it was by far the best decision.
I mean, and not only that, but if you're trying to ultimately be healthier, then that's what you need to do because drinking isn't healthy.
Yeah. Well, even with this new powerlifting thing, so, like, back when I was drinking, there's no way I could have done this because it's expensive.
Yeah.
And it's a total lifestyle change. So, like, if I'm killing myself in the gym and then going and drinking all those empty calories, like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I don't even have to look at the money now for once, which is nice. but, like, I used to be like, am I going to have enough money to go out and drink? And I would, like, think in my head, like, I need, like, probably $200 a weekend, which is insane. So,
yeah,
like,
that's
comparing, like, I remember bragging about how much I used to drink, which is ridiculous. Yeah. So,
how about, like, waiting for your paycheck to go through at the bar?
That was me, all, like, after midnight, direct deposit. Yeah, I was like, oh, we're staying out till midnight because I need that direct deposit to hit because I knew my bar tab would be insane, which is ridiculous.
I remember, I think we were at the Loomis or something, and you bought, like, a whole huge line of shots for people.
Every time I was at the bar.
I forget what it was.
This is
it might have been just a Saturday.
Yeah, so just last August. So I got sober in October, but in August, my firm went to a soccer game. And Chris texted his buddies, and they were out for a bachelor party in the Southside. So we went and met them. Like, we were drinking at the soccer game. Then we went to Southside. We went to Mario's. I remember buying the entire bachelor party, like, multiple rounds of shots. Why? I was, like, looking back, like, why? That is, like, the biggest waste of money. Mainly because no one was ever buying me shots back. So it was just, like, I was, like, the hype girl. Like, yeah, like, everyone, let's do shots and stuff. Let's do the shot wheel. And I used to think, like, this sounds ridiculous, but, like, younger people that would party with me and Clarion treated me like I was, like, some legend because I drank so much.
Yeah.
Which now I'm, like, good God. Like, I wish I could redo that part of my life. But now at least I realize, like, that's not a good role model to be. Like, now I'm actually, like, trying to be, like, an actual role model.
Yeah.
For, like, my mentee. So now it's just, like, full circle. It all comes back around. So at least I have that behavior to be, like, Let's not go back down that path, Carly, ever.
There's a song I really like, and the one, it's called Moving On, and the one verse is Funny How Time Is the Great Revelation. I love that verse. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's like, so it's kind of weird because you realize you have to wait, you know, for that revelation, you know, like.
Just like tying that into fitness. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight, as much as we'd all that to happen.
I want to like pay for my membership and just step in the gym and then be skinny.
Yeah.
Like,
is it that how it works?
I wish it did.
That'd be so nice.
I was talking with Corey and he was saying, I was like talking about this guy online who had like huge shoulders and all this stuff. And it was like a before after picture. I'm like, dude, like if he can do that, like I just make so many excuses for myself. Like, I could totally do that. And from his perspective, Corey's perspective, it was kind of interesting because he's like, dude, you weighed like 250 pounds. You lost all that weight. Like, so I was like completely not giving myself credit for any of that work.
For real. And you, that.
And, but I was beating myself up over something
else. You were making
progress.
Yeah. Do you remember that video I have of you from volleyball whenever you like.
Oh, the chest bounce volleyball video?
It came up on my time hop the other day and I was just like, he looks like a completely different person. And you were losing weight then.
Well, that was when? That was the fall of 2014?
Yeah, I think.
Is that right?
2015.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I think 2015.
Wow. Yeah. Because when I started my job downtown, I think I weighed like 240 or 230 pounds at that point in time. And then working there.
But at that point, you had already lost weight from before, too. Yeah. So you were already looking better then. And then now it's like, it's crazy. And that's, it takes time. You know, that's one of the things that takes time. And you have come a really long way.
It's weird. It's like, well, and I always think too, like when we do Spartan training, I don't know if we've talked about this before on the podcast, but when I do Spartan training, having a 50-pound sandbag on my shoulders or a 75-pound sandbag or just carrying this huge like cinder block and like, oh my God, my knees hurt and my back hurts and my shoulders hurt. And it's like, this is like weight that was on my body every day of my life.
For real.
Like,
it's like breaking down your body.
I'm lifting it up a hill now and I want to like die. I want this weight to crush me so I can be out of my misery and sweat right now. And that literally was on my ass before.
Yeah.
and I had to carry it.
You were walking around everywhere with that.
I couldn't drop it like at the top of the hill and swear.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird, like time-wise. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I
love the tangent section of the podcast. This is my favorite.
Yeah. I go back through like my old Facebook pics all the time and I'm just like so disgusted with how gross I looked between like 2012 and 2014, which is terrible. Obviously not very good on the self-love end.
Like, for me, like I was so concerned about like drinking and partying and having like friends around all the time and stuff that I was like, oh, it doesn't matter if I'm putting on a little weight here and there. And then you like look back and you're like, I should have never like let myself get to this point, because now you're like trying to take it all off and it's 10 times harder.
Very hard.
Well, I get nervous every time like I gain a few pounds, like, and it could just literally be from like a vacation or other stuff.
Christmas.
And, and it's like, oh, well, A, like, okay, I need to not beat myself up over that. But like B, like realize like at some point I can't lose any more weight, you know, like.
Yeah, you're still living your life.
And well, and I have to, okay, like if I want to gain muscle, I'm going to gain weight.
Yeah.
Like, because I could be 210 pounds
and look completely different.
Chris Hemsworth or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I would be 210 pounds still. Like numbers are weird.
The weight I am now, and maybe I'll try and put like a side-by-side up on our page.
Yeah, you
but
do
the
blog.
Weight I am now is the same as the weight that I am when I was puffy in that Christmas picture. But it's I look totally different.
Yeah.
So like it's weird. So you can't like focus on weight.
Yeah.
But like it is interesting,
like how you feel
to see
about
yourself. How you're like.
When I hit 190 pounds, it was interesting looking at my 190 pounds now versus my 190 pounds senior year of high school. Because those are like two different weights too, you know, like.
Yeah.
That was not from working out in high school. I was 190 pounds, like, versus. And
my
whole weight loss has been, like, extremely gradual, but it's not like I'm just doing cardio. You know, I'm weight training all at the same time. So it's, like, that kind of has happened together. Okay, so I say to wrap up, let's set goals for ourselves and make them a little bit more manageable since we all kind of were hit or miss with our other goals. And I say something like super small, even smaller than what we had done before. Even though, I guess, Sam, you did yours. Your gallon of water was like a pretty good small goal.
Yeah, I
think for my small goal for the next podcast, I've been inspired, is maybe absolutely no alcohol or pop on weekdays. I'll let myself do it on weekends, which I was doing before, and I like
be careful
fell
about
off
the binging.
Wagon. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like I think definitely make the conscious effort to give myself 5 days of no pop or alcohol.
I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do, I just want to hit my macro numbers every day. Just make a conscious effort to plan ahead so I'm not worried about not hitting them. If I know what I'm going to be eating, then there's no reason for me to not hit them. So it's just whenever I go on a whim and get lunch downtown, like there's no way of knowing what I'm going to be eating. So as long as I plan that out. So I guess that all ties into meal prepping too. Which one of my goals a couple months ago was to meal prep breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I'm just now at the breakfast and lunch stage. So
only one more meal left to go.
Someday I will meal prep all three for a whole week. But that day is probably not this week. So Sam, what about you?
I think my goal is probably, like I said, I've been sick for a couple weeks. So I think just getting back into the gym regularly. And I think I'm going to look into getting a coach, because I thought that like I could do like start my prep on my own. And like I can do research and stuff like that, but I just can't coach myself. So yeah. I think I'm going to have to look into like getting at least like a nutrition person for right now, because I'm pretty well off in the gym. But I think I'm going to ask for help for nutrition.
I mean, basic nutrition, I need to not eat like garbage. And that's easy to do. Like if you just like, okay, that's obviously very bad for me, don't eat that. But yeah, for what you guys are doing nutrition wise, I would not have an idea what to do.
Well, like kind of
like macros and all that crap. I don't know.
With that, I was talking to Jenny, my cousin Jenny, about this the other day, about how like whenever I was just like, you know what, I'm quitting CrossFit. Like I don't want to do it anymore. I have to like talk myself into going. And she was like, yeah, like, it seems like you want more of a one-on-one thing. So, like, having this powerlifting trainer one-on-one. Because I do like to have one-on-one. Like, I had a personal trainer years ago. But that was when I was in the best shape, because it was just me and him. Like, undivided attention.
Yeah.
Totally focused on getting you where you want to be. So, I think going forward, that'll be really what I need.
I wish when I had personal trainers in the past that I would have asked more questions. So I would know more when I was on my own again. Because I did learn a lot, but I don't think I should have asked so many more questions. And
yeah.
Like,
well, even, like, I met with him on Thursday, and he, like, asked me what my heavy lifts were and all that stuff. But, like, going into it, I was like, I want to start from the bottom up. Like, just the bar, technique, all that. He's like, oh, absolutely. Like, that's what we're going to be doing.
That's good.
So, like, I think it's easy to get away from that. No preconceived. Like, I'm not going to beat myself up if I don't hit that 285 or whatever that I hit last year. So
I mean, sometimes it's not the weights that's the hard part, it's the technique.
Yeah.
Oh, I was doing dumbbell lunges, barbell lunges in the gym, and I was like just having the worst time. Like I couldn't balance. Like I was like, what the fuck? I've just not done these in so long that I'm just that bad at it. And I looked up, and some other guy who was there at the gym, he looked over at me, and he just like tapped his chest, his core. I'm like, oh. So
That's awesome.
The second that I started, like, I got down and engaging my core, I was like,
"This is way easier."
Philip Petit walking across the high wire in between the World Trade Centers. I was like, "Yeah,
that's awesome, though. That dude did that for you."
Well, yeah, and it's like, there's things like that. My technique that I wish I would have remembered more and asked more questions about, and been a little bit more aware of when I had my personal trainer.
Yeah, because taking
that little gesture is like, oh. I'm not doing my technique right. That's what's
Jenny
wrong.
And I are doing a barbell class now, like on top of our CrossFit through our gym, and it's been crazy, like learning so much. And it's basically just learning the technique, and you know, we did like our one rep max in the beginning, and I'm sure we'll do it again at the end to see how much we improved. But just it's the technique is hard on some of them, and just to remember all the motions, like shrug, shoulders, blah blah blah, you know, like all this
tough
stuff. It's It's a lot to think of.
And knowing, and, like, what to engage and yeah.
And
yeah,
honestly, like in CrossFit, in, like, a big class, you don't have that, like, person.
Like,
walking.
They'll yell at you once in a while, like, hey, get your knees out or something like that. But
so, like, snatches, for instance, for me, like, the first time I ever did an overhead snatch, I was so off balance. And I was like, that's it. I hate this lift. I, like, never want to do this again. And then it was in the open.
Yeah.
And even though the open workout, the first set of them was just the bar, my first one I was off balance and I was totally thrown off for the remainder of the workout, because I was like, if I would have just maybe taken a second and, like, set myself up, I wouldn't have been so off balance. But like, it's kind of tough in the, like, a CrossFit setting, because there's usually two or three coaches per class with, like, 30 people. So yeah, maybe they'll get around to you on the strength portion, but maybe they won't. So, like, you're over there just kind of, like,
trying
the right way, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, with your barbell class, like, at least it's more individualized.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really going well, too.
That's awesome.
All right. Anything else?
Lauren, thank you so much for coming on and talking about...
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
...about your journey.
Yeah, it was fun. Oh, no.
You said it.
You said
journey.
Don't stop believing.
Terrible song. But yeah, like, this was a really personal one for me, so I hope you guys enjoyed it.
I definitely think too, I've been thinking this a lot with these podcasts, is okay, now we've got the first one out of the way that was hard to talk about, so I think this is a topic I think I'd definitely like to come back to in the future.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, for sure,
because
I mean,
it's
a lot
okay,
of people
now
need help with it.
Yeah, like, we've hit the basis, but now,
and like, if any of
further.
You are struggling, you know, like,
talk to
reach
one of
out
us.
To Lauren, reach out to me, reach out
to
anyone.
Yeah, I've had people reach out to me and, you know, ask me questions, even if it's not just about them, but about a friend that they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I do this for a living now, and I've been through it personally, so I...
And even Lauren's
confidentiality, I'm really good at that, too.
Lauren's boyfriend is clean, too, and, like, on New Year's this year, I was talking about one of my buddies that was having a really rough time, and he was like, hey, here's my number, like, give him my number, which is so cool that people are willing to do that to help out people they don't even know. So
yeah, I mean, we're all connected, you know?
Yeah, so, like, if anyone out there needs help with anything, just feel free to reach out to us.
Even the Broken to Barbell email box.
Yeah,
you know, there's
I mean, totally. I work in law, so, like, everything I do is confidential, so... It's not like I'm going to be like, oh, my God,
this person
messaged
me
and was like, eh. Like, I'm not like that. So
do we want to plug anything?
I don't know. Like, what?
Honestly, like, we're trying to put more content out there, but, like, we're not trying to be overbearing. So
and also try to live our lives in between podcasts.
Yeah. So,
let,
like,
us know,
obviously,
what you wanna see.
I'm, like, being over heavy on the Broken to Barbell Instagram. Like, I feel like I post on there fairly often. But
I always forget
to. Don't.
I'm, like, in the shower usually at the gym. I'm like, to post on the Broken Barbell Instagram.
So, like,
I honestly don't see it enough.
So, like, I have my personal Instagram. I have that Clemente Diaries one of all Pittsburgh pictures, because I felt like I was just getting too much on my personal stuff. So I've been posting to that. And then I also have Broken Barbell. So I'm just trying to be all over social media.
Just follow.
I
do
our,
it for the gram.
I keep.
That's right.
I still have Pittsburgh Polaroid that I've barely.
Yeah.
I love those.
It was like the winter really screwed me up.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh. And school last semester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, school.
All right.
But yeah, so this was a good one. Our next one is going to be on nutrition.
Yes.
So, everyone wants to talk about food.
Yeah, that's my brother wants to talk about. That was his first thing. He's like, do one on nutrition. And that's one I've been wanting
to do.
That's
what my mom wants to hear it. Yeah. I mean, of course, she wants to hear.
Yeah.
She'll listen to anything on here. So
eat your fruits and veggies.
But yeah, nutrition's really tough for everyone. And obviously, like, I do not have the perfect body.
Yeah. Nobody
so
does.
So it'll be nice to talk about that.
Ain't none of us in a Calvin Klein ad, so.
And we're not going to be as, like, rigid with our structure. Like, before we said we were going to do blogs every 2 weeks and then podcasts.
I have a...
We're keeping the podcast at the end of every month, so.
Yeah.
Look for it then.
But, like, blogs, if we want to blog in the middle of the week on some random topic, we're going to do it and post it to Broken to Barbell. So, like, that's just going to be our platform now, so it doesn't have to be... So don't be looking, like, every 2 weeks for...
Something.
For a blog post or something. If we post content, it'll be shared to our social medias.
Yeah.
Unless it's about relationships.
Then we'll hide it.
Yeah, which I mean,
it.
I guess if you want to go back and listen to the relationship podcast, go ahead.
None of us advertise.
I will not be sharing that one on my Facebook wall.
All right. It's been real.
Peace.
Thanks for talking with us, Lauren.
Yeah,
thanks
again,
me.
Lauren. And thanks to all of you for listening.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.